Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, so Cliff Schechter is standing by just over there. But if you're interested in listening to all the things that we have to offer on our Patreon page, here's exactly how you can do that. For just $15 a month at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, you can get the ultimate edition of this podcast, and it's entirely commercial free. The ultimate edition includes the shadow docket at the end, exactly as we record it. Plus, you get the exclusive Friday after party with me and Kimberly. You get to download the app and participate in the new chat room and a lot more, all for just $15 a month. That's BobSeskaShow.com or patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
What do you say, big guy? You want to go for a ride in the Bobmobile?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, March 27, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Interview on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 1,163 of the Biden-Harris administration, 223 days into the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. So before we start, a quick reminder about our brand new Bob Seska Show Mall. All of our show-themed apparel, mugs, wall art, and more is on sale right now for 35% off until the end of the month. Only a few days left to get our celebratory discount. So just go to BobSeska.com, click the new store link under the logo, and shop until you drop. Okay, so it's Cliff Schechter Day again. You might know Cliff from his popular YouTube channel, link in the description, or from the Stephanie Miller Show, or from his regular appearances on this show. This is one of my favorite talks with Cliff, so be sure to stick around for this. Meantime, don't forget to support this podcast by subscribing to us on Patreon, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Okay, hang on tight. This is me and Cliffin Schechterin.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Oh, God, Cliff. So, did you see Donald Trump went after Judge Mershon's daughter on Truth Central today? In total defiance, there was a gag order yesterday, which actually didn't cover the judge or his family, but I bet it will soon. I bet it's going to be expanded to include the judge's family, which is just ridiculous.
Why do they even do gag orders? They never enforce them. I mean, I'm just exhausted by this. Yeah. I mean, it does remind you if anybody like has had a narcissistic or sociopathic or something, you know, antisocial disorder, whatever, person that you've either been around because you've been stuck with them because of school or family friends or even in your family. Like, it's just, it never ends. The drama, the look at me, like, they're just so fucking exhausting. And like, I hate this guy in so many different ways. But one of them is that he just won't shut the fuck up, his little baby fucking mouth and hands, and go away and be, you know, go with his diaper to wherever the fuck he wants to go and just shut up and leave us alone and just live the pathetic life he's lived. Like, I'm so tired of him. God.
What's the calculus here, Cliff? Is he just looking to get thrown into jail or fined or something so he can complain to his red hats and say, oh, look what they're doing. It's such a disgrace what they're doing to me. They're telling me I can't talk, which is actually the context for his attack against Judge Mershon's daughter. He started out by screaming about the gag order and how unfair it is to Trump. thus asking for another gag order is essentially what he's doing.
I mean, I wish I could come up with new ways to describe him, you know, but he's a fucking little baby.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a six-year-old fighting over a swing. He has no more intellectual intelligence, emotional intelligence. You know, man, it's unfair. Mommy, I want that lollipop. I mean, go for a walk down the street in New York City and you'll see kids that act about the way Donald Trump does, about everything. I don't honestly think, in other words, some of his stuff, because sadly there's a lot of other emotionally damaged people out there, and they've all, like if you put up one of those fly zappers that attracts flies, they've all been attracted in that very same way to MAGA, right? I mean, you look up any of these candidates for something, you're just like, where is it? Where's the prison sentence? Where's the restraining order? Where's the, because you know there's going to be something in their past like that. Mm-hmm. They did something awful, because they all do. And they've all found each other. They're all attracted to, it's like they're, you know, attracted to this bright light. Donald Trump is like their, you know, is their crappy leader, you know, in this. But I mean, I think sometimes it works out for him well, because there's so many other whiners and complainers. But no, I mean, to give him the credit of that there's any thought behind what he does, no. I mean, I think there's some people that use his insanity and maybe egg him on to do something because they know strategically it could help. So there could be that, but he doesn't think on that level. He's not strategic about anything in his life. You know, he just is a whiny little fucking crapulent baby who's sitting there like, oh, my life's so tough and everybody's so mean to me. And I mean, fucking God.
Yeah.
I mean, just the biggest loser in the fucking world, that little thing he put up the other day. I won both golf championships. I mean, who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
Like, are you a three-year-old? Like, what is... Sorry, go ahead.
It is the world's biggest participation trophy. No one's going to oppose him. You know what it's like? He's like Martin Mull's character in Mr. Mom, who was automatically entitled to win the obstacle course at the employee picnic, right? It was just automatically his. He would win because he's the boss, and that's how it goes. That's the way Donald Trump behaves.
Or Caddyshack. He's like, what's his face? Mr. Rush. I can't remember his name in that. But, I mean, but he's even more pathetic than most of the characters that we actually see in movies, who have some... You know, they try to make them nuanced. There's some redeeming quality.
Yeah.
There's something. Maybe they built their empire, you know, and they were assholes along the way, and they treated people horribly. And I'm not saying they're good people, but that they had the smarts to do it. He did not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? His dad did. Like, his dad was the evil piece of crap that he is, but his dad actually had the smarts to build the empire. Like, there's nothing redeeming about him. There's nothing positive about him. There's nothing. I mean, again, I can't even imagine, like, I would feel like these people that hang out at Mar-a-Lago, like, I would feel like there are bugs crawling on me the whole time, and that I probably walked out with some sort of newly fucking evolved sexually transmitted disease from all of the ones floating in the air there. Like, he's just repulsive. They're repulsive.
Yeah.
I mean, I've run out of ways to say how pathetic they are. The losers of society. They are the losers of society.
Mm-hmm.
They are the freaks. They are the people that can't, you know, compete in mainstream institutions and mainstream competitions and succeed. So they need to go on the fringes and attack everybody else who has, and lie and conspire and do whatever to make themselves seem more important. Because there's just enough losers out there that if you can be the Pied Piper of the losers, you can sell a lot of crap like Trump Bibles, which maybe how lightning doesn't strike immediately every time somebody touches one of them, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the ghost of Thomas Jefferson's going to come by and smack that Bible out of Donald Trump's hands, especially for the fact that he put the Constitution, which he's never read, and the Declaration of Independence, plus the Pledge of Allegiance printed inside as well. So he's like physically violating the separation of church and state is what he's doing.
Physically violating the separation of church and state, but also if you believe that the Bible is sacred, I don't, but if you do, he's defiled it by doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be the Bible. And so these evangelical fucking, you know, hypocrites who support him, it's like when he gets up on stage at CPAC and starts humping the American flag. How can you be a veteran or anybody and be like, this is okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's defiled every symbol, you know, of religion, of culture, of country, of, I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I will never understand.
I think his supporters love the fact that all that shit annoys us. I think that's one of the main reasons they love him so much. And I'm only ascertaining
this. But
you're
this. Right. They're the losers. They're sort of the people I was talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what they think is they're owning the libs because Donald Trump is behaving like a jackass all the time. But what's actually happening is Donald Trump's turning off normal voters in the process. So every liberal that gets annoyed by Donald Trump's behavior, Donald Trump's actually losing a couple of voters. So it's like, I mean, think that's the calculus.
Do you see what just happened in that Alabama State House district?
Yes, I was going to ask you about that because that was a huge deal yesterday. Because,
and it's not surprising anymore. Yeah. The only surprising part, no, actually this isn't surprising too, I was going to say, is how absolutely positively fucking bereft of intelligence our entire media apparatus is.
Mm-hmm.
The dumbest fucking dummies in the world.
Right.
And again, they're paid to be dumb fucking dummies. Is it the Maya Angelou? Somebody had a line like that, like, you know, when somebody, don't expect anybody to ever go against what they're, you know, to understand something they're paid not to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these people in the media that want to rise up, that are careerist, you know, and want to make that jackass Sulzberger, who's given his opinion on everything at the New York Times, shown himself to not understand anything about the moment we're in, and people like that. But this is of a continuing pattern. Like, it cannot be ignored. And I will give you, I don't know, I'll just give you four or five examples quickly. On the day that Tom Suozzi won by, what was it, 8 points in the end?
Yep.
That was the closest, by the way. That was of all the polls that have been way off, that one was showing it tied. Mm-hmm. So that one was only off by 7 or 8 points in our direction. That same day, there was a Virginia House seat, very Democratic district. We were supposed to win by 16. We won by 35.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very Republican special election House district in Oklahoma, where we the time before had gotten something like, I think we got 24% of the vote. We got 47% of the vote.
Incredible.
And almost won.
Yeah.
So this one, this district, it just fits right in with that. I think Lands, Mary Lands, is that her name?
Yeah, Marilyn Lands.
Yeah. She lost by 7 2 years ago. The polls as of like 2 weeks ago, the polls, which anybody believes any of them anymore, you know, you should get shock therapy.
Yeah,
because they're such utter garbage. They have no relation to reality, as proven again and again. She was in those polls. Some of them were actually showing her losing. She lost by 7 points
incredible.
In 22. She just won by 24 points.
Yeah. What was the? Do you have a general sense of what the polling average was? Was it pretty neck and neck the whole time, the whole way through, according to the polls?
I know that early on it was, and maybe there have been some polls that had started to show her to lead. I'm not sure. But there just is no way in that district a Democrat wins by 24 points unless something huge is happening.
Yeah.
And now you imagine the Republican Party. I mean, obviously, she ran her whole race, you know, on in vitro fertilization and abortion rights.
Yep.
Which, again, is even more potent in Alabama because that was the at least for one of those two things, was the Supreme Court. But I don't see why that same strategy and throw in Plan B, bans on birth control, whatever. If you're a female candidate, just go after them directly. Mm-hmm. If I'm Debbie Mercado Powell in Florida running against Rick Scott, fucking crucify him on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I mean, you just, any female candidate, I mean, I think male candidates should do it too, but female candidates obviously are better messengers when it comes to this. Destroy them on that and destroy them. All these polls show the democracy too. They're scared of Republicans, you know, of not respecting and overthrowing our democracy. These things have finally, you know, with no help from most of the media, broken through, you know? And I mean, just, Keep it going. I'm just saying, we can go back further. Look, I'm sitting here in Ohio where they told us where, oh my God, it could go either way. The abortion thing, there was even a few polls showing us down by 1 or 2 points. We won by 13 points, dude.
Incredible.
They were off. They were off by anywhere. If you want to be charitable, they were off by 11.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, they were off by 15. And it was somewhere in between.
Wow.
Like, that is what's going on right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that the reason there was a special election in the Alabama 10th, the reason that's happening is because David Cole, who held that seat previously, was convicted of voter fraud. And a Republican. I got to make sure I emphasize the fact that David Cole is a Republican who was convicted of voter fraud and had to give up his seat as a consequence of that. And right. that's why Marilyn Lanz ran and won against her challenger, Teddy Powell. And it was
Has any Democrat ever, points.
I mean,
every time it's a Republican that won in North Carolina, who cheated, who got in for the state house. I mean, every time it's a Republican, every time.
Yeah, yeah, that's just it. That's the voter fraud that they've been able to weed out have been invariably Trump supporters. It's just an incredible thing to remember. And then also going back to the results of the election versus the polls, GOP primary votes against Donald Trump in last week's elections, 25% of Republican voters voted against Donald Trump in Arizona, 25% in Ohio, 21% in Illinois, 19% in Florida. That's an enormous...
There's nobody even on the ballot anymore. Yeah. I mean, they're on the ballot, but they're not running, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're voting for them, you're clearly where... Meanwhile, Joe Biden won 90% or something here.
Right.
And again, and I mean, somebody sat down who is smarter than I am in math, and that doesn't take a lot, and did the number, ran Trump's 2020 numbers in Ohio, and ran, you know, the percentages of what... of people who voted against him and his own party, the percent of people that said they refused to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And it turned a 400,000 vote win into about a 250,000 vote loss.
Yeah.
Again, like the thing that's going to be really interesting is what Democrats, what we're going to decide to play for. Because I've been making this argument forever. Look, you know, like first secure the victory.
Yeah.
Right. We have to win the White House for obvious reasons. We have to hold the Senate. And to me, you know, Manchin's seat was gone when he was there. It's gone without him there. Mm-hmm. So you're losing one of those right away. It's you know, it's holding a number of places, Arizona and Ohio and whatever. But to me, we should be going all out in those Florida and Texas seats, because again, Florida right now is something like plus three Republican, Texas is plus five or six. Mm-hmm. Well, if every race we're seeing in the worst case scenario has been that we're only doing 7 to 8 points better than polls, that overcomes the differential in both of those states. I would add that Rick Scott and Ted Cruz, for being two of the ugliest and most hated fucking human beings in the history of the earth, I'm not sure they were produced on this planet. I feel like they were produced in cocoons in some far-off fucking galaxy and brought here just to bring misery to anyone around them.
That's right.
But that, I digress. they've done, I mean, as I said, they've done so poorly. 6 years ago when Texas was more Republican, you know, Beto O'Rourke only lost by 2.5 points to Cruz. Mm-hmm. You know, like... Rick Scott has won a combined three elections by a point and a half. He won, the biggest win of his was 1.1. He won another one by like 0.3, another one by like 0.000. I mean, two was like 10,000, 8,000 votes. Like, they're both just such obnoxious, hateable assholes that they underperform their party to begin with.
Yeah.
So you go right at those two seats. I'm not convinced we couldn't win in a place like Missouri over Hawley. He's so hated. Make sure the people are funded that need to be funded to hold our seats and to make sure we hold or gain the Senate and we fucking crush them in the House. Because again, you know, the order of operations at the RNC has already been exposed. They've talked about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The money coming in to the brilliant Lara Trump first goes to Donald Trump's legal defense. Second goes to Donald Trump's campaign. Third to everybody else. They're not going to fund state parties. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get money to. They're not going to give money to the Republican senatorial campaign committee to help the likes of Cruz and whatever. They're not going to give money to the Republican House committee to help all of the, you know, these 18 or now maybe it's 16. I guess Santos is gone. And maybe one other, is it 16 now that are in Biden districts? But forget that.
Yeah.
We can go up to, again, plus seven, plus eight Republican districts, and suddenly 60 seats are in play.
Yeah.
Like, my point is, again, I don't want to get too greedy, but when you're dealing with a vicious, anti-democratic, you know, corrupt, you know, fascistic, let's be honest, force, you can beat Trump and have it be, we won like we did in 2020 and Trumpism didn't go away. Mm-hmm. Or you can kick the living shit out of Trumpism. You can beat his ass so badly that you beat him in Florida and you beat him in Iowa and you beat him in Ohio and you
North
beat
Carolina.
Him in Texas.
Yeah.
And North Carolina and the other states we won, you crush his fucking ass. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you knock off many of the avatars of Trumpism. You knock off fucking Lauren Boebert. You knock off Ted Cruz. You knock off Rick Scott. You knock off other horrible House members that are in seats that aren't quite Republican enough because you're such an unbelievable dick who hates our democracy so much that you can be in a plus 10 Republican seat and lose.
Yeah.
Like that, to me, that's what FDR did in 36. And that was the way he was able to do so much of what he was able to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we can win that. I mean, that was a landslide of all landslides. But again, I will take a one vote win over Donald Trump.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If we want this to be more than just a republic on the precipice, if we want to reset things, if we want to make MAGA and Trumpism bad words, crush them to the point of where people are so embarrassed to be associated with them that maybe, whether it's the Republican Party or some other party, a center-right faction grows out and we can have a functioning democracy again. The only way to do that I can see, because Merrick Garland clearly isn't going to do it for us, is to crush them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what will help that process, Cliff, is the fact that Joe Biden and the Democrats have a significant money lead over Donald Trump and the Republicans. And that means that Joe Biden can do what he was doing yesterday, campaigning in North Carolina. He can campaign in Florida. He can actually, he was fundraising in Texas. I think it was either a week or 2 weeks ago, which indicates that they see a path to Texas, or at least it's worth spending some money to see what happens because they've got this financial advantage. Donald Trump will have to spend every last cent to just secure whatever he can grab up in some of the swing states, but he won't be able to expand his map at all, at least put any money into expanding his map. So that is a distinct advantage for the Democrats, where I think you combine that with some of the results of these special elections, certainly the midterm and so forth. You've got
you start getting that perfect storm.
Yeah.
I'm not, again, I don't want to predict anything, but the elements are there to make it happen. And that's why I began that with the Laura Trump being at the RNC, that, that they're not raising money. They're not going to have any money except for it's going to go to him and his legal bills. And on top of all of that, again, numerous Republican donors, including that jackwad Peter Thiel himself, said they're not, they don't, I hate that. Maybe he'll live forever because that's all he seems to care about. They're not going to, they've said they're not going to be giving money anymore. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them have either soured on Trump as a human being or realize they're just paying his legal bills.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's not just about the fact that what comes in is going to go to the wrong places. It's that a lot less is coming in, because if you're a Republican donor and you know that that where your money is going is to this asshole's legal fund, are you going to give it to him?
No, of course not. Yeah. And so that leads us to Ronna McDaniel, because one of the things I've been saying, Cliff, with regard to her being picked up by NBC News and then let go by NBC News, not even a full Scaramucci, as everyone's saying, but
third of a Scaramucci, even he tweeted that out. Give him credit.
Yeah. Well, with Ronna McDaniel, it's not just that she aided and abetted the electoral scam, the theft of the, or the attempted theft of the election through the electoral vote, the fake electors, that whole end of the conspiracy. But, and it wasn't just that she was conspiring with Donald Trump throughout this whole last, seems like, interminable number of years. But the fact is that Ronna McDaniel is horrible at her job, or was terrible at her job. She was a terrible chairperson of the RNC. She lost election after election. She basically allowed Donald Trump to pillage and bankrupt the RNC. Why on earth would you elevate her, pay her to be an expert on network news, for God's sake, network news coverage of elections, for that matter? What was NBC thinking in this process?
Well, because nothing means anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it did, and I wish television, you know, I mean, listen, as you know, and you agree with me, there's fantastic streaming, like Hollywood television out there that I'll speak about all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Television news at this point is everything that network predicted.
Yeah.
It is such a... To describe, I mean, it's all entertainment values, it's all ratings, And the thought was she had name recognition. She ran the RNC. There were no other considerations. It wasn't, was she any good at it? Did she suck at it? It wasn't, did she get on the phone and try to convince Michigan electors, the right ones, to not submit their electoral votes so that we would have a constitutional crisis? Mm-hmm. Did she lie numerous times on TV in a way that should put her so far over here? Again, you know, with the whiny, crying, wimpy MAGAs, you know, who can't climb out from under their beds without fear. Oh, I mean, we're being hurt again. Oh, Republicans. I can give you a whole list of Republicans. Hell, Ken Buck just left. Hire him. Yeah. I don't like him. I think his politics suck. But at least he stood up for the Constitution. Mm-hmm. You know, put him on your channel. Like there's all sorts of Republicans who I disagree with and I think should have the right to be on these channels and talk. But if we don't say there's a point where you're outside of the mainstream and you will never be allowed back in, if we can't say that you trying to actively overthrow an election in this country is enough so that you are no longer part of the club, then just fucking throw in the towel for mm-hmm. democracy.
Yeah.
And NBC showed again that, you know, like when they hired White Santa, what's her name? Fucking Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
That they don't care about anything. You know, no, I mean, no. It was all about value. And thank God, like, pressure still works. I mean, it came from people like me and you who maybe have larger accounts on certain places and can make noise. But good for, you know, good for the personality at MSNBC. And then I will say the thing that will shock you and give the huge credit, Chuck fucking Todd.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, his voice was quivering, like, when he said it. Mm-hmm. He almost looked like he was going to cry. And I don't say that to be nasty. I said it to say he clearly was forcing himself to do something that was very uncomfortable for him. And as we know from his tenure at Meet the Press, where I think he was absolutely awful, it is uncomfortable for him. But I will give him credit for this, that this was so bad and so ridiculous that right after her interview where she continued to lie, he felt a need to actually say something, and I don't think they were expecting that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that opened the floodgates. I think when Chuck Todd even said, you know, how horrible it was that her bosses, Kristen Welker, had put her in that position, I think that sent a signal to a lot of folks at MSNBC, like, all right, it's open season.
Yeah,
you know, and they felt a lot more comfortable to go after her in the ways they did. And, you know, we got to where we got to. But it also tells you the story of who our media is, you know, that we have to be on guard all the time because there'll be another one mm-hmm. next. It's not like they're going to learn their lesson. I mean, Chris Licht didn't learn a lesson from CNN. Hey, let's have Donald Trump on and just let him lie as much as he feels like on a town hall. Their ratings crashed to such a point where all sorts of, you know, Republican, non-MAGA Republicans, normal ones, independents, some Democrats who were watching stopped watching, and they've never recovered.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about Chuck Todd, I think one of the reasons why that was a nerve-wracking experience for him is because if it went the wrong way, if suddenly NBC executives got pissed off at Chuck Todd, he would be both sidesing it up over on Substack very, very quickly because
sure
he would lose his job. And that's what he would have to do as a backup plan. And I think he understood that. And he's risen quite far in the hierarchy in NBC News, started out doing what Steve Kornacki is doing right now. Remember Chuck Todd?
He was like a page or something. You know, even below. Look, I'm just saying, and again, this doesn't make up for the years of what he did. It doesn't make him perfect. And he's no Edward R. Murrow. But that was a big moment. And sometimes you look back at big moments that maybe had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to be able to sit there on NBC and until the uproar, perhaps even parts of MSNBC, because let's be honest, we can all see Andrea Mitchell and Katie Turr and some of the ones on MSNBC having her on, even if the nighttime host wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, that was something that looked like on this year to get Trump's back and to lie for him and to attack our election system, really to attack our country and be a traitor, because that's what you're doing when you do that.
Yeah.
And she was going to be there to do it. Now she won't be.
Okay, short break. Back with more Cliff right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
There's a lot of meddling and mixing of political into the news platforms, and I think it's bad for news, and have for a really, really stinking long time. But no matter how loud I ever yelled, no one got my back. Nobody even cared to listen to what I was saying about that. Now, all of a sudden, it's come to a place where the person that they're trying to insert into the news and the fact-finding portion of our lives called news is an election denier, is an insurrectionist, is somebody who covers up criminal behavior by her president. And suddenly everybody thinks that they have the Rosetta Stone. You know, they think that they have figured out that this is a bridge too far. It's always been a bridge too far. But thank God the insurrection and the violence that occurred is a wake-up call. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
One of the things this kind of illustrated, Cliff, is the fact that there seems to be this attitude, especially behind the scenes, at all of the news networks and news divisions, certainly on cable news as well, that there is some kind of equivalence between someone like Ronna McDaniel and, say, Andrew Weissman or Neil Katyal or Elie Mystal or any of the people who are left-leaning who happen to show up in little boxes on MSNBC. And there is no equivalence between those people and Ronna McDaniel.
No. You want equivalence?
Everything like, we've talked about, yeah.
You know, if you want equivalence, maybe Jill Stein. She sat at a table with Putin and probably tried to do her best. I mean,
bingo.
I guess if you want to call her on the left, you know, there's your equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
People who haven't tried to undermine, overthrow, lie about our elections, there is no equivalence. Yeah. I don't care how far to the left they are, because there's a whole bunch of them to the left of me who I disagree with on some things. And you know what? That's okay. We're a coalition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we aren't are people that are trying to overthrow a democracy.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that is the problem. And that was always the problem with her. And so, you know, the whiny right wingers, I mean, they're always amusing. You know, you're not, I mean, Joe Scarborough hosts a morning show on MSNBC. Nicole Wallace hosts a show on MSNBC. There are others, but there's two Republicans right there, one who was a congressman, one who actually worked for the, you know, a Republican president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So when they want to act like there's no Republicans just because they're, you know, they've embraced sanity and haven't joined the MAGA crowd, it doesn't mean they're not Republicans.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're not more conservative than you and me.
Right.
So, I mean, and I'm sure I'm missing some other ones with those two. I felt like
Well, there's Michael Steele. Michael Steele is a regular contributor over there. And he was actually
governor of Maryland.
Paul Hogan. Is it Paul Hogan? Am I saying the wrong name? Am I mixing him up?
You mean Larry Hogan?
Larry Hogan, yes. Paul Hogan is Crocodile Dundee. I'm an idiot.
Oh. Well, dude,
wow.
First of all,
that was way off.
That was awesome. Hey, here we go. Ready? That's not a knife. That's a knife. Okay, sorry.
Oh, God. It's only March. It's only the end of March,
Cliff. We're just going to start making Crocodile Dundee New York jokes right now. New York has so many people. It must be, with so many people here, it must be the nicest place in the world. Hey, fuck you. Yeah, well, in any case.
Larry Hogan, Paul Hogan.
I'd rather have Paul Hogan in government.
Yeah.
Actually, the truth of the matter is that right now, Larry Hogan is actually kind of dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
He was, oh, anti-Trump. He wouldn't endorse Trump. He's, you know, this, that. But he's running for the Senate from Maryland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has name recognition, and he could realistically win.
Yeah.
And I swear, if he does that and caucuses with the Republicans and gives the control to the Republicans, then he's undone and ruined every positive thing he ever did.
Yeah.
If he wants to pull an Angus King or somebody who's more moderate and win, and he wins and then caucuses either by himself or with the Democrats, I can live with either of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, I don't care what his positions are.
Yeah.
If he's pro-choice and he's for gun control and he believes in climate change and all the things he's good about, if he ends up handing, you know, the Senate to a bunch of cretins that don't believe in any of it.
Right. Well, he can count on not getting a cent of RNC money. I mean, so there's that. That gives the advantage to David Trone easily in that race because Paul Hogan, Larry Hogan, I don't think he's going to get any cash from the national organization.
No,
so
bring back Paul
own.
Hogan. I want him to run.
That would be...
He can wield a boomerang like no motherfucker you've ever seen before. That's
God.
What we need in government.
Yeah. And
can you imagine like Matt Gaetz with his enormous head gets up sometime and won't shut up and Paul Hogan just gets up across the way and wields it, fucking cracks him in the head and then comes back to him and he sits down? I think there'd be standing... I'm not advocating violence, everybody. A joke. Joke.
That's okay, because like Paul Hogan is 90 now or something like that. I don't even know if he would be capable of doing that.
I bet he could still throw the fuck out of a boomerang.
That's probably true. He could probably still beat up Matt Gaetz. That's for sure.
Right. And also, yeah. Matt Gaetz's head is like, you know, half the time I expect his head to like just catch on fire and go down like it's like a large German blimp. You know, like, I mean, that's how big it is.
Yeah. Well,
should we just start going into movies? It's so big, it has its own weather system.
That's right.
Hid. Paper. No.
That's right. Oh, God. So, speaking of Matt Gaetz and his enormous head.
I've had my Wheaties today.
So, you mentioned Matt Gaetz. We got to talk about the House Republicans continuing to beclown themselves. How soon until Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker of the House? I think it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen in January, knock on wood, but probably before too. That's a very good
unless,
strength.
Honestly, yeah. That one I'm not even going to say probably. Like, always knock on wood, right? Mm-hmm. I always get to, you know, feel whatever.
Yeah.
But they're gonna take back the House by at least 15 seats or something like that, if not more.
Yeah.
It's not even. I mean, I'm not even concerned about that.
Right.
The you know, again, unless there's a fascistic takeover, in which case we're in a lot more shit.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to sooner, I do think there's a good chance sooner because, again, to go back to Donald Trump and that metaphor. You know, it's Lord of the Flies. Honestly, if you want to understand these Republicans the best, just read Lord of the Flies, and I'm not even kidding. They are a bunch of children on an island together fighting over who gets the hot dog and fighting over who gets this and that. I mean, Kevin McCarthy got kicked out of being Speaker, not because he was a shitty Speaker, which he was, and not because he was a blow-dried pucker hole who raised money from anybody who would give it to him. Which he is. I got
a blow-dried pucker hole. Holy God, that's genius! All right, I'm gonna steal that blow-dried pucker hole.
Please do. You can name this episode "Blow-dried Pucker Hole." But he was thrown out because Matt Gaetz doesn't like him because they're so dysfunctional and they're set up in a way that they can't agree on anything. Because again. They're all children with personality disorders and sociopathy and narcissism and antisocial disorder and fucking IQs bordering on 80 on a good day. And so you put this whole mix together of who these people are. They can't come together on anything. So the reason Matt Gaetz kicked them out is because McCarthy didn't block the ethics committee from looking into it.
Yeah.
It was all personal. Nothing to do. And the reason Marjorie Taylor Greene is now maybe going to push out you know, porn porn monitoring Mike Johnson is because of the fact that, not because he monitors way too much of his son's porn and should probably get help.
That's so weird.
But it's creepy as fuck is what it is. But you know what? But it's because of the fact that because he took over when they kicked out her bestie, McCarthy, who was going to elevate her, mm-hmm. and she's now mad at Gates and others that put this guy in place. So now she's going to kick him out. I mean, they're a bunch of fucking children.
Yeah.
Of course nothing's going to get done.
Right. When are they going to tell Marjorie Taylor Greene to shut the fuck up? At some point, it seems like the Republican leadership would go, why are you doing this? Why are you ruining it for everybody? Why are you putting us through this again? And she's just going to keep doing it. And first of all, they're not going to tell her to stop doing it. But
no, they know she won't, and they're scared of her because she's like Trump. Mm-hmm. She has no intellectual or emotional control.
No.
So they know that to challenge her is to anger her, and then she'll just get worse.
Yeah. She's got stupid strength. She's got the...
Yes.
Yeah, she's got that that strength that comes along with just being absolutely clueless about everything and believing that you're not clueless about everything. It's like Dunning-Kruger strength. Maybe that's a better way to describe it.
Crack.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's like Dunning-Kruger steroids is what Marjorie Taylor Greene is taking.
It's on us. We are failures because, again, Biden and a lot of Democrats are showing so much more, you know, talent at this, But again, this cannot be like we just defeat Trump. Trump, Cruz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, you know, there should be a half dozen, call them dirty dozen if you want a dozen of them. You know, who was it? Somebody called it my friend Tony Michaels, who has a show, The Hateful Eight. Eight of them. You know, come up with your whatever, but pick six, eight dozen or a dozen faces of the current MAGA Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And obviously, with Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene has to be one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And show people everything they do and everything they say, and that these are the people that will be in control if you give them more power and that kind of thing. And that should do it.
Are they building toward having some sort of ruling majority, or are they? Because we know that they're either at a ceiling. I'm talking about the Trump Republican Party. They're either at a ceiling or their support is declining. At some point, are they going to recognize that maybe the whole Trumpism thing is not working out for them, and maybe they need to cut bait and move on to something else? Are they ever going to realize that, or is this going to continue to disintegrate for the Republicans?
Well, you know, I've referred to Lindsey Graham before as a clownfish. I did that in a video, and that's that, you know, who follows around to see anemone and you know, eats food off of their teeth and off out of their fecal matter. And lives off of them because that's what Lindsey Graham, he needed to see it in him. It was John McCain, and then McCain was gone, so he found Trump. Okay, I'll let you have a moment. I didn't know I was going to do this well on your show, Bob.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, the sea anemone, which is just impossible to say, first of all, but you nailed it.
Yes, there's a certain number of them. And I'll say quickly, by the way, not to boost my own YouTube, which you should subscribe to.
Yes.
But that video right now has 392,000 views. I have no other video. I've had a bunch of over 100,000, over 150,000. I don't have any others within 200,000 of my comparing Lindsey Graham to a sea anemone eating pieces of food of Trump's food out of his fecal matter. That has almost 400,000 views right now on my channel.
God.
Amazing. There are a lot more of them, and they're the ones who go with whatever the wind blows. They're cowards. They have no ideas of their own, no spine. They're born followers.
Yeah.
And that's why I was talking about there being hopefully some, you know, a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, they are the ones who will forget Trump like he was yesterday's news and jump on to the next thing, you know, if they think Trumpism is done.
Yeah.
And so what needs to happen is Trumpism needs to be crushed in an election. Some people who are leaders, whoever they may be, need to step up on the center right and provide that new path and say, look what happened to them. I don't know. There's still other factors there. How do they unradicalize their base? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Their media is still pumping this, you know, if you want to call it their propaganda, we should say, from Fox to Sinclair, from Breitbart, you know, to all the other online garbage, the Daily Wire, the Daily whatever, everything's the Daily something. With that, you know, they're pumping this these lies, these conspiracies, this garbage out, and it radicalizes their people so that they can't function in a society where, okay, the other side's wrong, they're not evil.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know how that changes, because I could see the Republican Party being taken back over by Larry Hogan types if there's a complete sort of crushing of MAGA Republicans where they just get destroyed and Trump gets destroyed. And then the followers, the big group of followers, the clownfish are like, oh, we'll eat their fecal matter now instead and jump over to them. Yes, I can absolutely see that. The problem is will they have the constituency? Will they be able to appeal? Who is going to appeal to these 30% of people who honestly like are barely fit for civilization anymore? I don't know what else to say about them. That have been so radicalized, that are so angry, that are so exist so outside of reality that they think, you know, crazy shit about who won the election and about Italian satellites with votes. And, you know, that's what I said the other day with Ronna McDaniel when she was when she was fired. I'm like, oh, well, it's not really, she should have been ready for it because that contract clearly was signed by Hugo Chavez back in 2011 and then sent over the voting machine to, in any case. I mean,
right.
Like when people believe stuff like that, I don't know how you, you know, it's almost like we need a mass, we need to get like doctors for a mass deprogramming. But again, if Fox keeps pumping this garbage out, maybe Fox cares only about business. Murdoch, for you know, whatever is how bad he is, and he's awful, only cares about dollars. And maybe if he thinks if it goes off the edge like that and populist and the populists start scaring the corporate Republicans, maybe they'll pull it back. And maybe, you know, he'll pull Fox away from that sewer.
Yeah.
But who else? I mean, well, you know, do we really expect that that little fucking wimp Ben Shapiro is making probably millions doing what he's doing when he's only a Lilliputian? Can we? I had to stop for a second. Sorry. Can we expect that he is going to go back to you know to saying sane things when he makes money off of saying insane things? Like I don't know how you get the right wing ecosystem back into reality. I don't know.
Yeah.
With it, without enforcing libel laws more, which I've talked about before, and disinformation laws and terroristic threat, some of the things that we don't have laws for, some we do and we don't enforce. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I know that definitely I can see the Republican Party rejecting Trumpism. It's just we also have to make sure that they think they've got a constituency to appeal to.
Right. And this is something that I've been thinking about specifically regarding you and our friend Rachel Bitticoffer, because I've noticed one thing in the past couple of weeks. Joe Biden is taking it directly. I almost said that like Don Jr. Joe Biden.
Yeah, but you'd have to be like this to be like Don Jr. You'd be like, Joe Biden is taking it. Where'd my other eight ball go?
Biden.
Allegedly, yeah, folks. Yeah. The lawyers, allegedly. Go ahead.
So Biden is going directly to antagonism with Donald Trump. Have you noticed this? You see, a couple of statements been issued calling Donald Trump weak.
Everything I dreamt that he would do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And this is something we've been talking about for like 10 years, you and me, because we've been like campaigning to get the Democratic Party to get some backbone and really stick it to the Republicans in this way. And finally it's happening. And I assume you think that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just because it's funny and we enjoy it. I mean, again and again, you will see through market research, people react to strength.
Yeah.
People, when you make others the object of mockery and derision, people are embarrassed to support them. Mm-hmm. Like these things, you know, actually work. They politics is it also gets the other side to sit on their hands and feel depressed when you're doing this to them. Like politics is psychological warfare, and Democrats have so not understood that. And it's about, again, I think the person who best summed it up, And I've used his phrase, but yes, I've always been, you know, Stephanie Miller, and I go on, is nice enough to always do the alpha liberal song about me. And I've always been like, I've been advocating for this forever, and I'm so glad to see him do it. But I feel like we need to thank numerous members of Congress, the Jasmine Crocketts and the Eric Swalwells and people like that who've taken a lead on this kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
But Gavin Newsom, maybe, what he's done this year with putting on ads and getting in the faces of Republican governors, debating DeSantis and tearing him apart. And then he made the statement to the news at one point where he was like, this is ridiculous. He's like, all they do is lie. I think he came in, he may have said it to Kristen Welker, actually. He's like, we have a story to tell. We should be on offense. We should be pointing out who they are, the failures they are, the jokes they are, the successes we've had. We should be on offense. We should be driving the news cycle. We should never be sitting there letting them dictate terms to anything. And I was like, yes, 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 and yes. You know? And like, it just seems like enough Democrats now get it. And it's so good, because when Biden does it, and I think that came from some of his staffers, maybe, and some of the other, you know, who understand the media atmosphere we live in now and the way people react to this stuff. When he starts doing it regularly, it just is going to just that much more send a message to every Democrat running, from freaking, you know, dog catcher up.
Yeah.
Like, this is how you fight these fights. You don't sit there and let them lie about you and say, I'm above that, or shame on you. God, I hate when we do that.
Yeah.
Shame on you for that, as if they have any shame.
Right,
no, you
right.
tear the fucking ass out of them for it. You point out the four affairs they've had, the way they've mismanaged their money, their shitty record, and every other damn thing you know about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
So in the end, is RFK Jr. going to end up taking more votes away from Donald Trump or Joe Biden? I mean, if you believe the janky polls, it seems like he's taking more votes away from Biden, at least based on the polls. And again, I have to underscore how many of the polls are just wrong, and see also previous discussion about special elections and so on. But what do you think? Is RFK a danger to Joe Biden or Donald Trump? I think
he's absolutely a much bigger danger to Donald Trump.
I agree.
And I'm not saying that to be Pollyannish about it. Mm-hmm. Thank God that's the case.
Yeah.
Because it could have been different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got two things going on. One, you have a huge amount of the, and this speaks to our education system too.
Yeah.
Huge amount of the electorate that doesn't even know who RFK is anymore.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that either they don't know where he is, or they heard of him, but he's no big deal. You know, to them, they don't know about his speeches or what he, you know, that's the first thing. Second thing is, thank God, and this has to continue, he's running his entire campaign on the issues that appeal to the worst of MAGA.
Yeah.
Right? If you're running it on the fact that he's pro-choice or is fighting for environmentalism, then I'd actually be really nervous.
Mm.
He leads with his anti-vax insanity and finds ways to bring the Holocaust and other shit into it.
Yeah.
Then his second issue is pulling completely out of Ukraine and becoming some isolationist bunch of lunatics. And then his third is paranoia on guns and people should have. So he's terrible on all three of those things.
Yeah.
And that's what he leads with. That's what he talks about all the time. And so I mean, again, I know some of these polls recently, but I've seen other countering market research that shows he keeps talking about stuff that way. Frankly, if Democrats were smart, they would go to a number of states and they would boost RFK's statements on vaccines and statements on Ukraine and be like, Donald Trump got vaccinated. Donald Trump has said he wants to defend Ukraine, which he has said, even though he's a liar. I would go and only target the furthest right lunatics. You know, get your targeting list of self-described far-right libertarians and these and those, and like send them off to vote for RFK. Trump loses a few percent here, a few percent there. He gets crushed.
I think the people who end up voting for RFK Jr. are people who would have voted for Donald Trump, but who are also sort of Joe Rogan listening bro libertarians. then that's, to me, that's the core of the support for RFK Jr. Obviously, there are going to be some idiot Democrats who end up taking a vote away from Joe Biden and voting for RFK. But by and large,
there won't be some.
Yeah, right.
But you nailed it right. The Joe Rogan, what is Joe Rogan like? You know, his whole like, I'm so masculine thing. What was he? He's a black belt in something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the whole climate of that show is very pro-toxic masculinity with lots of discussion about performance-enhancing drugs and...
Right. The way RFK went to Laguna Beach and took his shirt off, and I'll give him credit, is in good shape because clearly he lifts weights and whatever and is muscular. I mean, can you imagine Donald Trump taking his shirt off there? My point is, if you want to send the ultra macho, I don't need a vaccine, I work out, I'm cool, I'm a bro. We should be actually targeting, we should be putting together lists and getting of those voters who are never going to vote for a Democrat in certain key states and sending them from Trump to RFK.
Yeah. God, that's you're so right. You're so right. I hope someone
from
the Biden campaign.
I have a picture, honestly, of RFK with his shirt off and be like, this is the guy that rejected the vaccine. Here's the fat wimp that took it, and like has to wear a diaper. Who you think he would rather stand up for you against going into Ukraine and against blah, 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 blah. That's what I would do with their far right list of nuts and move them from Trump to RFK.
Yeah, and if you were to write that up in memo form for Jamie Harrison and the Biden campaign, I would co-sign that with you. And you know who else would co-sign it is Rachel Bitticoffer and probably Kimberly Johnson as well. I think we would all co-sign that because it's such a great idea.
We may have to do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other alternative is, I have a fundraising list and a super PAC. So,
there you go.
As long as we keep raising money, it may just be that if they're not willing to do it, some of us may be willing to.
Perfect. Well, talk about your YouTube channel. You said you got some pretty hefty views on that Lindsey Graham video, but everything's still growing. Everything's still going well over there.
It's going great. I mean, like it's always with these things, as you know, with the podcast, it's such a roller coaster process, man. All the video that gets 75 or 100,000, and I'll put one up that gets 3,000, and I'll be like, You don't know the algorithms, but at this point, I kind of have a good idea what my folks like. And I've gotten this core audience together. We're getting really close to 40,000. I think we've got about 1,400 more subscriptions we need to get there. And then I'm really going to start this rebranding that I'm sending around everybody. It's going to become Cliff's Edge with me, a much edgier thing, more representative of who I am and what I'm saying. We've got the new logo and everything. I'm going to do that. I'm going to add paid memberships where we're going to have some really fun and interesting celebrities on. I'm going to probably start doing a 1-hour question and answer thing for people who are members on Friday, where I do an hour live stream. Like, I'm going to add a bunch of new features to it beyond that because it had to get to a point where, at least from YouTube ads, first of all, where it was real to me. It wasn't like, all right, I've been doing this for a while and I've got 300 subscribers. Like, clearly people aren't interested, and that's fine and whatever. Well, it's grown pretty rapidly, so that tells me that I've got a real audience out there. And the second thing was, it has to bring in some money. Yeah. And finally, it's not like it's bringing in huge money, but it's finally bringing in money to cover the costs and cover my time so that I can do these new things, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's still not quite there. There's still a little money coming out of my pocket, but it's nothing like a few months ago. So I feel like I can really try to expand. And so it's at C Schechter for anybody interested. C for Cliff and then S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. That will remain the same. It will be at C Schechter. Right now it's Blue Amp, but within 2 weeks or so, it should be we'll have it all set up. So it'll newly rebranded. And we'll start adding the features. It'll be Cliff's Edge. Maybe in time, if I'm lucky, the hope is before April 13th, where I'm going up to Minneapolis to join a certain group of sexy liberals on stage.
Oh, yes, that's right. Congratulations. You'll be part of the Minneapolis show. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So. Sexyliberal.com for tour dates, et cetera, for this
one. Are you going to do the one in D.C. or somewhere like that?
I don't know. The D.C. one is in January of next year. So, and it's like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days before the inauguration. So we may all be in prison, Cliff. No, I don't know. But
that's a great point. Hopefully. Or we'll do the sexy liberal tour via Zoom. We'll be like, where are you? I'm in New Zealand. Yeah, I'm in Portugal. I'm in Argentina.
Well, if I get to if I get asked to participate, I'll be bringing my go bag on stage with me, just in case. Just in case I have to dash.
Definitely, it'd be like the Jason Bourne bag. You need a gun in there. You need like piles of different like passports and types of currency. But you, I only asked because I wouldn't say it otherwise. You've been on before. You've showed up at the show before. Haven't you been invited on before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was at the San Francisco one. I did the DC one. San Francisco a couple of times, and then the DC one, I think it was 2018, something like that. And then, I missed the last DC show that they did because we were concerned about COVID. So that was the day I was bike riding with Stephanie Miller and rode off the trail into a bunch of brambles, and she yanked me out by my yam sack, as she likes to say. That's... That was the previous DC Sexy Liberal show. So, yeah, but this is pretty exciting.
Gotcha
this is,
now. Well, you know, it's kind of, I mean, you've been in a bunch. So I'm kind of, I go on about once a month, excited just to get invited. And I looked and, you know, I could wait till August. There's one in Chicago, which is a few hours closer. There's none in Cincinnati or Cleveland or anywhere in Ohio. But I've got I've got with both of my companies, the YouTube one and my email one, key members live in Minneapolis. And I love going on Matt McNeil's show, who's one of the few progressive hosts in the country at a progressive AM radio station, AM 950 in Minneapolis. So I'll go on live. So there's a lot of reasons to go to Minneapolis. So I'm psyched for it.
Are you going to open or are you going to be panel? Do you know yet?
I'm panel. So I don't know what that means exactly.
Yeah. But that's what I want to do.
I guess we just discuss shit.
Yeah. I was on panel for the first one that I did in San Francisco, and then I opened with Carl Frisch for the subsequent few. But I prefer panel, so I'm going to lobby Stephanie for panel. If I'm invited at all, I'm going to ask Stephanie if I can.
I mean, I guess opening, you get up and you actually open the whole show.
Yeah. Which is
cool.
Which, for me, it's terrifying to be, you know, out on stage and just standing there.
If you haven't been like a comedian before on a stage like that, my guess is for me, they said panel. I'm like, all right, you just, you know, if I'm allowed to talk, I'll say some crazy shit like I do in your show, and we'll take it from there.
No, great talk, my friend. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Absolutely my pleasure. Seriously, thanks for having me on, dude.
All right, take care, Cliff. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.